Well, I do appreciate very much what Brother Jeff said. And I'm not just saying that, I really do, Brother Jeff. It was good. I want to continue on with the theme that we had this morning for a few moments. I won't be very long. And I often hate to say that because have you ever been to heard a preacher and he'd say, "Now this, I'm going to be through in just one more point," and then he'd preach for another 45 minutes. I don't really intend to do that. But before we begin, let's bow to the Lord in prayer. Our holy and heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the word that you've given us and how that you speak to us. How that we learn more of you as we read the word. And Father, I pray for myself that you'd give me a greater love and a greater desire to read and study the word. That I would indeed be as a psalmist and say that it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We know that all that we know in this world, the place that we could go to gain that knowledge would be in the book that you've given us. We thank you for this congregation. Pray that you bless them. Father, pray that they be encouraged and that they'll continue to go forth and be faithful to you and to your word. Thank you for the pastor, Brother Jimmy, and ask that you be with him and hold him up and encourage him in the most holy faith. Just continue with us in this meeting today. Bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we spoke somewhat this morning on how that God spoke. He really spoke in creation, but he spoke in the old dispensation by visions and sometimes by voice, but he spoke through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son. And he spoke to us in his Son in the incarnation. And we spent most of our time on that this morning. And then we began to talk about a little bit toward the end of this morning about how that he came as a human. And as we pointed out and was commented upon, he didn't come with great pomp and circumstance, but he came as a poor man. And we would probably could classify that as humiliation. And Brother Jeff remarked on how that Christ was humiliated. He was humiliated, really, you could say that he was humiliated in his birth because he did come of low estate. But yet, we see the ways in which Jesus was to be humiliated, which was meant maybe especially by some men to humiliate him, that he actually was exalted in that. We would have, if we'd been having a scheme for the Son of God to come to the earth, we would have had him to have been born in a much greater way. But the way that he was born, he actually was exalted in that. Jesus was exalted in the life that he lived. It's hard for us to imagine that somebody could be perfect. But Jesus Christ was perfect. He was even a perfect child. I know most of you here, perhaps besides Brother Jeff, have raised children, but you've all been around children. And we can all recount our experiences about us raising our children, and children were different. I know my oldest daughter, I could just almost look at her, and she would begin to cry, and there's very few times in my life that I ever had to correct her, because she wasn't perfect. and some other of my children, I was a totally different experience. But Jesus Christ never did anything wrong. Can you imagine having a child that was perfect? But he was perfect. So we could say that even though he was humiliated in that he came a little lower than the angels, but yet even in his life that he lived, he was exalted. The Bible says that as he grew into manhood, as a man, that he gained favor both with God and man. He was a good person. And the Bible even tells us that during his life that he went about doing good. And he never did anything that was bad. I'm sure that I know some good people here and that have lived, I'm sure, good lives. But all of you can look back and say, I wish I hadn't have done this. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I'd done this differently. You know, Jesus didn't ever have to say that because his life was perfect. And that is hard to comprehend. He was humiliated, as Brother Jeff pointed out, they tried to humiliate Jesus when it came time to kill him, when it came time for him to be crucified. There was the trial. And you recall that, and John's account of it is, I like the best, that when the soldiers came in the garden to apprehend Jesus, that when he asked them, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus. He said, I'm he. And they just fell back. If I was a phrase come to my mind when I thought about that, to those soldiers, what should have been your first clue? When you just fell back when he said that I'm he. His accusers, the chief priest, who could not find any evidence against him, and they had to try to make up evidence and get people to testify falsely, and even those who testified falsely could not agree on the testimony. Satan had, of course, had entered into Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord. And I am sure that Satan thought that when they had tried Jesus, they had brought him to the chief priest, had tried him, had brought him to Pilate. Pilate had sent him to Herod, and Herod had sent him back to Pilate. And then when Pilate would have freed him, the Jews said, no, crucify him. And when they put him on the cross, I'm sure that Satan thought, now I've got him right where I want him now. He is defeated. He will not go any further than what he's gone. He thought that the ultimate humiliation for Christ had taken place. But little did he know, and I don't think he knew, Satan is not someone that we can match wits with. But he doesn't know everything. And he certainly does not know the purposes of God. When they hung Jesus on the cross, it says in Acts, the 2nd chapter, and the 23rd verse, him, speaking of Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That even when Satan had all, he thought he had all of his minions lined up, and he thought that he was going to defeat the Lord Jesus Christ, He was only doing what had been predetermined by God to be done. He was playing right into God's hand. But even Jesus, when He was on the cross, didn't lose His purpose. And there's a lot involved in what His purpose was, but there's a couple of personal things that I want to point out. Jesus was a perfect person. He was a perfect son. And when He was on the cross, He didn't forget His mother. I'm sure that He was concerned about what the Jews would do to His mother, and He knew that His mother was in great sorrow. And I am quite certain that His mother was like a lot of the other disciples. She didn't understand everything that was going on. But the hurt that she felt had to have been far greater than anyone else that was there. And Jesus remembered His mother. And He looked to John. And He said, John, looked at John and said, "Behold thy mother." And looked at his mother and said, "Mother, behold thy son. Behold thy son." He cared that his mother was taken care of, even in the greatest agony that he could have suffered. And while he was on the cross, he remembered that there was one more that was going to be saved, and that was the thief that hung beside him. And even though he was suffering in the agony and the pain that he was suffering, and in the beginning we know that both of these men railed against him. They joined with the crowd. Why, you would think, why would they join with the crowd? But you all like to go along with the crowd. That's our human nature. We just like to go along with the crowd. And even though they were hung on the cross, they wanted to join with the crowd and rail on Christ and said, "Well, you saved others, save yourself." But something happened to one of the thieves during that time. God made a change in him. And he began to rebuke the other thief. And he said, "We're here because we deserve to be here." He confessed that he was a sinner. But he said, "This man has done nothing amiss." He confessed the righteousness of Jesus Christ in his own sinfulness there in that one voice. And he turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." He was exalted in that. He was exalted in the kind of death that he died. Because the Bible says that Jesus bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, if you were hung on the cross or you were in any kind of a situation like that, when you died, your head would fall over. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't. His life was not taken from him. He gave it up. He was in control the whole time. Even, and I missed this, I meant to bring this out, even when he was before Pilate. And Pilate asked him, he said, "Don't you know who I am? That I have the power of life and death over you?" And Jesus said, "You don't have any power at all except God, what God gives you." He was in control, even though Satan thought that he had him in his grips, even though he was in the worst possible situation from a human standpoint he could be in, he was still exalted because he was in full control the whole time. And I like that scripture, Brother Jeff, that you pointed out this morning, or a few minutes ago as you read, that when he had, let me turn and read it where I don't misquote it. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And here in Hebrews 1, in the first chapter. It says that when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I'll tell you what this means to me from a personal perspective, how I understand it. I grew up as a boy on a farm, and but we all grew up and had chores and what have you that we had to do. And I could remember sometimes, you know, in the morning time, and we'd work and be right up around noontime, and my dad would say, well, let's go take a break, and we'll go get something to eat. And then maybe at the end of the day, he said, well, let's go ahead and knock it off now, and we'll rest. You know, he didn't say the word, but he meant that we were going to rest for a while. But you know, the next morning, there'd still be work to do when we get up and go to work. Jesus Christ came to work, and he worked while he was here on earth. But he finished the work, and the Father told him, sit down. Your job is done. There's nothing left for you to do. Brothers and sisters, Jesus did it all when he died on the cross. Now, if we simply talked about his death, his life and his death, how that he lived a perfect life, and how that he died, even though he died in the way that he died, that could be the ending of a sad story. But I thank God that's only the beginning. And I want to say something here, point out something in the book of Mark. And I think this, I don't know if Brother Jimmy's ever pointed this out to you or not, but I love this, and I especially am going to think of this church every time I think of it. But in the 16th chapter of Mark, you know, Jesus had died. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had taken his body and buried it. And the next day was a Sabbath day, so they didn't do anything on the Sabbath day, but on the first day of the week, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Now, ladies, and what I want to say about this is specifically for you ladies. This was, where were the disciples at this time? They had all fled. They were all gone. But these ladies were going to do what they didn't know much. No, the disciples didn't either. I'm not trying to, that's not a gender statement. The disciples, the rest of the disciples didn't know much either. But they were going to do what they could do to anoint the body of Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Now here's where I really want to get specific. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Because you remember, it had been ordered that they had rolled a big stone up and had put soldiers to guard the stone. And this is what the thought that I had some time back, several years ago, as I read this verse. It was a blessing to me. Brother Jeff, I think you can probably appreciate it and identify with me in my assessment of this. If that had been a group of men that had been walking to that tomb there early in the morning, and they had thought, now who's going to roll the stone away? The men would have said, well, we might as well just go back home because we can't do anything. It's useless for us to go. Women don't always think like men do, and I'm glad they don't. They asked the question who could roll the stone away, but they didn't turn around and go back, did they? They just went on. I thank God for godly women. And oftentimes, some women, I think, I know you don't, but some women get the idea that because women can't preach and things like that, that they're in a lower class or something like that. That's not the case. And I know that Brother Jimmy would tell you, and I know that I can say this from experience, that there's nothing that you'd rather have in a church than godly women, because they just press on. They just press on. And that's what these women did. They asked a question, but they just kept going. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" But when they got there and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Jesus was not in the tomb. Every religion, I suppose, in this world has the Mohammedans, I think, they have a place that's supposed to be the grave where Mohammed is buried, and they make pilgrimages to the grave, and there are other religions that have something similar to that. But we don't have anywhere that we can go to look at the grave of the founder of our faith, because there's not one. He was put in the grave, but he didn't stay in the grave. Jesus is a risen Savior. I like the song, "I serve a risen Savior." He's in the world today. So we could say that even though there are some ways that you could say that He was humiliated, He was exalted and is exalted now at the right hand of God on high. And I'm love this thought. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that there's a man in heaven today that's in the same body that he had when he left this earth? There's only one, but he's the first fruits of them that slept. Thank God that we have a man in heaven today and the promise that we'll soon be with him. Let's stand and we'll sing another hymn and